It's time for Mark James.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid 90s. Phony Michelle. I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career. Chris Frail. I've known Michael Irvin for 16, 17 years. University of Miami fam. We're good like that.
Byrie Irving.
I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Next star here at WEEI. That, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
Mark effing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward. I'm going to call him Brad Farrell because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
Be honest, and I think one thing.
Exactly. So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick.
Byrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Definitely a different version. We'll get the good version. It is the Midnight Express. Mark James. It's Mark with a C, James, here on a Friday. I can't believe it's already Friday. We are just over 2 days away from the Patriots and the Chiefs at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. And yes, it's the Midnight Express crazy hour. We'll get back to the original version, right? Trust me on that one. I can tell. I'm so good about telling when something's different. I could just, it's just a little, like, I could tell it's a little bit off.
Yeah, well, I guess the job done for now.
Yeah, for now. And tonight, we are actually, we have a special guest in the house for this hour who is going to be taking calls with me, the wonderful, delightful Courtney Fallon, who makes her return all the way back from Plastic La La Land, L.A. She's back home in Boston where she belongs, Winchester born and raised. Courtney with a C, along with Mark with a C. What's up, Courtney with a C?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm so glad that you made that definitive distinction that I am not Courtney with a K with a Kardashian. If you do, then you're completely
right.
I write you out of my book.
Right.
Just like Jerry Jones is going to write Jason Garrett out of his book in a matter of minutes.
Wow.
In a matter of minutes.
I'm surprised. I wasn't surprised that he wasn't fired after New England because they had the game against the Bills 3 days later, 4 days later. And so it was a short turnaround. You couldn't fire someone and have the inter. It would have been a bleep show, but they didn't. And so they played last Thursday. They got destroyed by the Bills at home. And tonight they get destroyed on the road by the resurgent Chicago Bears. So there's that. There's a lot of things to get to. Obviously, New England Patriots related. Tom Brady, the big question. And the weird thing is that last year I covered the game at home against the Chiefs on a Sunday night in October. It was a brisk Sunday night. And the Patriots won that game. They pulled it out because of Brady. Last year, AFC Championship game on the road in Arrowhead. Flip of a coin, Patriots win the coin toss, and they don't allow the Chiefs to get the ball again. They march right down the field, and they win the game in overtime and go to their Super Bowl, the ninth under Belichick and Brady, 11th overall in franchise history. But coming off the heels of the Houston Texans game, Courtney, and Brady's clear frustration and disgust with the offense, I have to tell you, I don't have a good feeling about Sunday.
I don't have a good feeling about it either.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Courtney with a C, Mark with a C. We don't have a good feeling about Sunday.
I just...
Please do tell.
Listen, I mean, for the Patriots right now, we're sitting here on Thursday. Well, now Friday morning, and the Patriots, Mr. Personnel guy, always with a backup plan. The Patriots don't have a kicker right now, Mark. They do not have a replacement kicker for Kai Forbath, which they kicked to the curb. Oh, I'm so punny. It's midnight. I don't know what they're going to do, a kicker. And the fact that they can't pull off a guy from the street. You say that, you were telling me off the air, Dez Bryant doesn't have any legs anymore.
Nothing left.
Why can't they pick up Michael Crabtree off the street?
I don't know.
Why can't they pick up Antonio Brown? I don't want to have that conversation right now.
No.
But the roster, Mark, with a C, it has stayed the same from last Sunday night's embarrassment in Houston. This roster of young guys, plus Philip Dorsett, who still can't figure out what a hitch-and-go route is when Tom Brady whips his hand like a little gun. I have no confidence in this offense, and I'm not afraid to say it. I mean, if they picked up someone, or if, you know, I don't, there was no news. That's all I'm going to say.
That's my
opening
statement. Well, here's the thing is that this is a week of frustration, and I'll give Danny and Quincy a lot of credit. And I know a lot of you love them, but most of you love to hate Danny and Quincy. But I do love Danny and Quincy, who takes care of his 100-year-old mother, which God bless him. God bless her.
Wow.
A century, right?
Yeah.
And 1909.
That was when my grandfather was born in 1909.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
No, he died many, many years ago.
Okay. 1909. God bless her. She's still.
Wow.
Danny Quincy said it best.
1919. Wow, Danny Quincy was about to be like.
Oh, she's almost 110.
If he kept his mom alive for 110 years,
well, 100's pretty good.
I mean, you'd be in the Guinness Book of Hall of Fame,
right?
Guinness Book of World Records.
Hey,
right now.
You know, one of the founders and owners of Friendly's Ice Cream just turned 105 last month.
That's fantastic,
Presley Blake. So my thing is this: Danny Quincy said it best, where this team is 10-2, but it feels like they're 6-6. And I thought, if there was ever a statement that really encapsulated the 2019 New England Patriots coming off last Sunday's embarrassing loss to a team that they should have pretty much had their way with, and Bill O'Brien, who was 0-4 Belichick, 0-5 going into that game, make it 1-5 after the game, I this team is frustrating. They're more frustrating than 2 years ago, because 2 years ago you understood. No Edelman, but you had Amendola, you had Brandon Cooks, and you had Gronk, who had an amazing 2 years. 2 years ago in 2017, Gronk was unstoppable. Remember against Philly in the Super Bowl, he had 2 touchdown catches. Just dominating. Last year's not as dominating, just his presence on the field. It was unreal. This doesn't feel right, Courtney. This feels like an Tom Curran's article that came out yesterday. It's making national waves on the Colin Cowherd show with the great Colin Cowherd and the greater Joy Taylor.
Yes, it's my girl.
Your girl.
That's my girl. It's
your
my
girl,
boo right
who's
there.
So like infinitely talented and just
couldn't agree more.
I mean, unreal. Colin mentioned it today on his show, and he mentioned the Tom Curran article. It feels there's something in the air, and you can see Brady's disgust and his frustration. You can't blame him. It doesn't feel right, right? You know, if you've ever been in a situation, I don't care, I'm an open book, Howard Stern has been fired from jobs. Rush Limbaugh was fired. The most successful people in this world at one time, like I've been fired. Like, you, and you look back and you look to indicators, signs that sort of point where, you know what? I didn't give that enough thought at the time, but in retrospect, you're like, that was a sign. The signs are adding up, and it doesn't look good.
Tom Curran, one of the great reporters in this market, he's come out with stuff before, and it's been broken news directly from Brady's camp. He talks directly to Tom Brady Sr. I mean, like, this is a guy, when he comes out with a report that is as chilling as this, that talks about in great detail about Tom Brady's contract negotiations, whispers of what happened this last year, how he's basically setting it up
right
to say that Robert Kraft is suddenly back on Bill Belichick's side. And the way that they have finagled a deal,
right?
That if this was supposed to happen last year, then it would have happened with a longer-term plan. Now, whether or not if Tom Brady had been more definitive about how long he wanted to play, perhaps the open book of, I'm going to play it until I'm 55 years old. If he said, hey, listen, I'm 42 years old. I ideally have about 3 years left. I feel like they maybe would say, like, all right, we'll give you the deal. But instead, Tom Brady wants becoming more demanding, finally being fed up, realizing he's gone 20 years in this organization and not getting paid and taking pay cuts and, you know, and watching his wife make $20 million a year, knowing that he was going to be a team player. I mean,
how many times in Tom Brady's career has he been one of the top five highest paid quarterbacks?
I think two, maybe in 20 years. Exactly.
Like in 06 and maybe two times in 20 years. Right now, this article illustrates it. He gets $4.5 million less than Jimmy Garoppolo, who is 15 years his junior, and he gets $10 million less than the guy he beat in the Super Bowl, who fell to his knees and basically conceded defeat in Jared Goff. And it, like, it's just like, what does this guy have to do to? And I think the one thing, and that was the thing that I always said too. I said, Robert Kraft's worst nightmare is Tom Brady playing for another team. I think it's his second worst nightmare. His worst nightmare is one of that tape from the Orchids of Asia Day Spa becoming viral. That's his worst nightmare. His second worst nightmare is Tom Brady playing in another team. And I have to tell you, I think Kraft has done an about face. I think he has gone pro Brady to where he's been the fifth Kraft. Mm-hmm. And I think now he's pro future, which means he's going to go with Bill. And I think Bill and Brady are actually on good terms. I think they are fine now. The acrimony, the dissension, the friction amongst the ranks, as Seth Wickersham reported a couple, 3 years ago on Wild Card Weekend 2017, where then the Patriots were off that weekend, and then the following weekend, they ended up in the AFC Championship game. They beat Jacksonville before losing the Eagles. I think Belichick and Brady are good. But I tell you, I think Robert Kraft, somebody got to the old man. And he's always done whatever it takes to put this team in a position to succeed. And I feel, and Antonio Brown, I just felt like if you ever needed further proof of how bad this team needs someone like Antonio Brown, again, I'm not asking him. If I had a daughter, I wouldn't want him to date her. If I had a sister, I wouldn't want him to date her. If my mother was single, I wouldn't want him to date her, or my aunt or my niece. I want him to help my team win their NFL breaking history making 7th Super Bowl. That's all I need him to do.
There's no way in hell he does.
Why?
I don't. Because he's a liability, Mark. The second he was here for 11 days, and when you bring in 50 to 70 credentialed media a day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, open locker room, and you have local or national reporters. I had friends that were texting me when I was living in Los Angeles. They said, you are so glad you are not back here for this AB mess, because you're asking like 77-year-old reporter Dante Scarnecchia, like, if Antonio Brown is going to play on a Sunday, and the guy looks at you dead in the face, and you're like, bro, I coach the offensive line. Like, I don't know the situation. It starts to become a problem. And this guy is a complete liability. And something that I said
Courtney,
to you off
the air.
It doesn't matter. So what do you do? What do you appease your quarterback? So if you fully believe that Tom Brady is on his way out with his bag packed, just ready and waiting for that first round exit, that the Patriots are going to walk out when they don't do anything to their wide receiver roster. You mean to tell me that if they bring this complete loser back into this organization, great football player, and it just somewhat makes Tom smile a little bit more, and it makes him fired up just a little bit more.
Well, put your team in a position to succeed.
Okay, so will that keep Tom Brady on the roster after this year?
Right now you're pushing him out the door.
Yeah, all right. So when you bring someone who's a complete
Tom Brady
liability,
loves him. But Brady loves
it
him.
It doesn't matter. What, so, you know, how many times is he going to go on his Instagram at night and talk about Robert Kraft's, situation?
I understand.
I mean, like, listen, it takes one slip of the mouth.
I understand.
It takes one slip of the mouth.
He is someone
and Robert Kraft is going to be like, there's no muzzle. There's no muzzle big enough to keep on this guy. I don't want him on my team. I'm tired of it.
The zero tolerance policy, because I'm telling you, this team, they They're 24th in the NFL in red zone percentage. They're the 27th speed team in the league.
Oh, I agree that this roster's receiver's bad.
They're the 27th speed team in the NFL. They're one of the slowest teams in the league. Brady, if you could read lips on Sunday night, he goes, "You guys got to get there faster. You guys got to be there quicker. Separation." You could see those words coming out of his mouth. I don't blame him. Their best win of the year, prior to the Dallas game, which doesn't look like that great of a win, the best win of the year was at Philly. That was an impressive win at the time.
And look how bad it looks right now.
How bad? After they lose to the Dolphins. So that was a great win at the time. Brady comes to the podium, post-game press conference. He has a minute and 40 seconds, and he walks off like Cam Newton. He is pissed. And that told you. And then someone asked him, Mike Reese asked him, quote, "Hey, how about Julian's arm? He showed he was a quarterback." And Brady didn't even want. He was not having it. He was not in a joking mood. He was. But here's the thing: here's another thing that's going to happen. And this is further down the trough. We have time to wait and see, because he will be a free agent when the NFL New Year starts in March. If he leaves, and I think there's a 55% chance he goes to another team. Listen to this.
I think the Los Angeles report.
If I were him, I would go to Dallas and bring Josh McDaniels with him. But that's a whole other story. Here's what you should do. When I look back, if he does leue, if this team didn't already rue the day passing on Lamar Jackson twice in the first round, imagine you could have gone from Brady to Lamar Jackson, and Brady leaves. Now who do you have? Jarrett Stidham? You gonna get a quarterback in the draft?
Listen, that Jarrett Stidham is a pocket passer that Bill Belichick probably would love to develop.
But he's small and he's unproven.
Yeah, but right. It doesn't matter. Do you understand that once Brady leaves the system, I mean, Bill Belichick is going to completely.
Probably will be
the roster and the schemes, the offensive schemes, the defensive schemes. Actually, perhaps not the defensive schemes. The entire offensive scheme is going to change.
Well, he's
going to
bring and in. Maybe,
I know, but like, the pieces are going to change around him. The Patriots perhaps won't really need Julian Edelman anymore, because maybe they won't be needing an slot receiver. I mean, we're going to see the whole world change over.
All I can see is this.
It's going to be a shock to many people, but perhaps. Who knows who's going to come walk through that door?
If he leaves, dark days are looming in New England. And Belichick might be.
I don't agree. Because of the clone of Steve Belichick that I saw on the news the other day.
Well, no, but without a quarterback, if you have a quarterback in this league, no matter how bad your defense is or whatever, if you have a quarterback, you have a chance. But I'm telling you, there are some 6-10, 7-9 seasons on the horizon if Brady leaves. I'm telling you.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. But, and you're going to have a half-filled Gillette Stadium, and you're going to
No.
All right. We'll see.
No.
We'll see.
Even when the Celtics weren't that good, people still filled up the
Well, okay, well we are the realest sports town in America. But I'm telling you,
it's not going to be that bad.
Do you know? Oh, it will. Robert Kraft's big.
Yeah, but people will be angry, but people will have to be optimistic. I mean, listen,
why do they have to be optimistic?
Because this is the town that the New England six-time New England Patriots have.
But that show is over. It's like The Sopranos or Breaking Bad. It's done.
You still have Bill Belichick, and that legacy is still cemented. Like, if Brady leaves, it doesn't change anything.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't take the Super Bowls away.
But I'm telling you,
the legacy.
Brady will go somewhere, and he will tear it up. He will tear it.
I disagree.
Well, if he goes to the right team like the Cowboys, he will tear it up.
I think that logic of like, hey, if Brady was on the Dallas Cowboys,
it would be unbelievable.
I think that's totally subjective. How do you not know that Brady's arm speed and his accuracy isn't still declining? This guy is still going to be 43 years old when he walks on the field next year.
I got that. But you know what? Because he hasn't hit the Peyton Manning wall of 2015. The Peyton Manning wall, where in 2014 he threw 39 touchdown passes. In 2015 he threw 9 and to go with 16 picks. He hasn't hit that wall. Brady still got it. It's the people around him who don't have it. So I said this before the Dallas game. If you switch the weapons for weapons, and you gave Brady Zeke, Amari Cooper, Gallup, Witten, and that O-line, New England wins. If you switch last week, Houston, and you gave him that O-line along with Kenny Stills William Fuller, and DeAndre Hopkins, who's arguably the best receiver in the league, along with Darren Fells, who has 7 touchdown catches as a tight end, New England wins. And guess what? On Sunday, if you gave Brady
Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins,
Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and LeSean McCoy, and the Williams, Dominic,
offensive line. Don't forget,
Eric Fisher's still there. Yep.
That offense.
So that's everything you need to know. I can't say it enough. All right, Courtney Fallon is in the house with a C, along with Mark with a C. We're going right to your phones right now. 617-779-7937. You want to get in? Here we go. Soria and Mansfield will lead us off tonight. What's up, Soria?
Hey, how's it going tonight, guys?
Great.
It's good. How are you?
Yeah, first I just want to address, I really appreciate you guys are giving the Antonio Brown like the seriousness that it deserves, because I think a lot of people brush it off. Like, it's, oh, yeah, you know, you sign him, whatever. You know, people do not understand, especially in 2019, the impact that an Antonio Brown signing would have, you know, if you re-sign him, right? That's my first number point. The second thing I just wanted to bring up was, Quinn, I just disagree with you a little bit with the when you said that with Brady leaves. I agree a little bit more with the 6-10, because at that point it's not like, oh, yeah, we have Brady to rely on. Right? It's more like, it's a lot more as a fan, it's a little bit more of a desperation, where it's not a given, like, oh, yeah, we'll win the division. Like, Buffalo is on the rise.
I
like,
know.
If so, you hey, really Soria, look at it.
You have to remember that they were also 11-5 with Matt Cassel as quarterback.
Well, no, yeah, no.
If you want to talk about the national argument that Brady is a system guy.
That's so
you can admit, I mean, yeah. If you go along with that argument, you can say that you could win 11 games and go 11-5.
Soria, if they lose
your quarterback,
if they lose on Sunday and Buffalo beats Baltimore on Sunday, which they could, I'll tell you something right now. You're going to have that game in 2 weeks. When have the Patriots ever played a December game with the division on the line? What was it, 2010 against the Jets and Mark Sanchez? I mean, when it's been that long, and I don't even think the division was on the line in December when they killed the Jets then. They had already built up such a lead. So you talk like this game is huge. I don't feel good about it, and you're trying to go for the hat trick on beating Patrick Mahomes for the third time in 2 years. Good luck.
What's going to happen when they lose on Sunday to the Kansas City Chiefs?
The bleep's going to hit the fan.
No. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this skid is not good already right now. The spotlight is on. The warning signs have gone off. The little, like, warning fireworks have gone off the week before. Sunday was embarrassing. But you can't blame it on the flu that ran through the entire roster. If they lose, Mark, on Sunday to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they cannot put up more than 13 points on the field in a home crowd where they haven't lost in like 40-something games in December, it is going to be bad.
Yeah, well, they haven't lost at home in 2 years, in October 1st, 2017, against the Panthers and Cam Newton. So they don't lose at home. But I'm telling you, Kansas City's ready for this game. Andy Reid, if it's a playoff game, I'll put my money on Brady and Belichick. You know that.
Yeah, but where's the urgency now?
Well, that's what I mean. There is no sense of urgency.
They need to do something now.
No sense of urgency. All right, if you want to get in, the text line's already loving. Breath of fresh air. Driving home after work with Courtney and Mark with 2 C's.
Oh, thank you so much.
617-779-7937. That is the number to get in. We'll be here for the next 36 minutes to 1 in the morning. So you stay tuned here and give us a call. We're the only local show on till that late, so we are live and local till 1 in the morning. You want to get in. The Midnight Express rolls on. Now it's time for trending.
Bill Belichick, and I talked about this many times, is not going to have a hard time convincing Robert Kraft that, look, Jonathan's going to take over the team soon. Your grandson Harry's going to take over the team soon. Steve's on the roster. We have to start building to the Patriots 3.0 version of this dynasty. We've always been about value. What's the value in spending $27, $28 million on this quarterback if we're a defensive and running football team? And Kraft has already made his effort to try and make an elegant exit. I think he'll divest himself of the decision. There'll be a lot of tears all the way around, but I think that's what we're heading for.
All right, that's Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston Early Edition, and he is plugged in, he's locked in, he's juiced in, and he knows everything what's going on. And interesting, yeah, how about that? Harry Kraft, the grandson, how about that? He's in a good spot, man. It's hey, I don't hate anybody who's – it's just nice if you're born on third base, isn't it?
listen, with a lineage like that,
yeah,
you're going to be right. Set for life.
Like, listen, with all due respect, and God bless her, and I know she went to BU, and I know she's a huge Patriots fan, but Stephanie McMahon, who's the like brand ambassador to the WWE, that's her title. It doesn't hurt when your dad basically redefined the world of wrestling and created WrestleMania. You're kind of going to be – there's not many unpaid internships you're going to have to do to get to where you want to be.
Listen, I don't mind the Silver Spoon Kid,
right?
But
you got to earn it.
You got to work.
You got to prove it.
Butt off.
Yes.
In that position,
sure.
And not just like behind the scenes.
No.
It's almost like you got to do like a subtle flex to show, like, hey, yeah, I do work hard.
You know,
this
what you
position.
Can say all you want about Jerry Jones, but you know who's done an amazing job
it's
drafting
Stephen. Jones.
Stephen. His son.
Yeah.
He's done, like, when...
Yeah,
when,
no, Stephen Jones is legit. He's a legit front office person.
When the old man wanted to get that card 5 years ago up to the podium to take Johnny Trash Zell, his dad said, I mean, excuse me, his son said, no, we're going to take Travis Frederick out of Notre Dame, who ended up becoming an all-pro his
tackle.
Rookie year. Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. So,
yep.
Like, you've got to... You, like, that's the thing, and... I don't know. I hope someone can talk to Robert Kenneth Kraft and talk to him about bringing AB back. Because if you don't bring AB back, you're not going to a 7th Super Bowl. Forget about winning it. Let's go to Jim in Newburyport, who's been holding. What's up, Jim?
I met Tom Curran at a Celtics game. What a great guy.
He's
really
he's
nice
wonderful.
Guy.
Yeah, I love his posts on Twitter about his dog, Bo. I love Bo. Bo Curran.
Okay. I'm going to disagree and then agree with Courtney on something. So, first of all, don't bring AB back because the reporters are going to ask questions.
Yeah, come on.
I don't see that as a problem. If you want to role play, you could be the reporters. I can be Bill Belichick. And it'll sound something like, I only talk about people who are on the roster. I'm going to do what's best for the team. And we're talking about Kansas City here. Those will be the answers.
Stock
to all
answers.
The
They're all the stock answers, Courtney.
No, but it's not. What? Literally, it's just, it started to bother players in the locker room as a distraction away
Why?
From the game plan.
Why?
Because of the questions.
I get it.
When you start bringing in the local news reporters, like the Byron Barnetts of this world.
Or Duke Castiglione.
and asking questions that are, in Bill Belichick's eyes, inappropriate. And just distract. Well, and I'm telling you, it pierces the bubble.
But here's the thing. They went undefeated. But it doesn't matter. They went undefeated.
I'm telling you from a reporter. I mean, right. I respect your opinion, Jim. But I'm telling you from experience, from a reporter's opinion. That's my perspective.
Yeah, I remember Duke when he was out in Western Mass when I used to live out there. But you know what?
Oh, what part of Western Mass did you live in?
I used to live in Springfield.
Oh, me too. Oh, that's where I'm from, Jim.
Boy. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I used to coach basketball out there, and I was born there. And
good.
You know,
me too.
All over the place.
Mercy
so.
Hospital, we, baby.
All right.
Well, I was actually born at Providence in Holyoke. So
okay.
But I lived in Springfield, Six Corners. So it's not the
know
same
it well.
As it is now.
Know it well. So, Jim, just last thing. You all in for bringing AB back?
Yes and no. You know what? It's like, if you're going to win the Super Bowl, why not?
But right.
I want to agree with Courtney on something also, though.
Okay, let's hear
and
it.
Challenge you. You're right. You know, Belichick will change the system. He'll do what it takes to win. Now, the thing with Brady is, does Brady really want to come into Foxborough with San Diego or Tennessee or something like that for an AFC championship game and walk away with his tail between his legs? You pick the team that we're going to face in the Super Bowl or in the AFC Championship with Brady on it. You know what? You pick the team, and then we'll say we've got Nick Foles or we've got Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Brees or whoever, and see if Belichick couldn't make a Super Bowl team out of that defense and quarterback X, Y, or Z.
All right, you're going to need it. Okay, fair enough. Belichick can certainly make chicken salad out of chicken crap. They did win 11 games with Matt Castle. They didn't play anyone that good that year. They missed the playoffs, but it was a great effort. Like this year. You know who I think the coach of the year in the NFL is? What do you think? It's very easy.
Jim Harbaugh.
No. John Harbaugh? No.
Sorry, Jim.
No,
John,
no,
John,
no.
John, John, John,
no,
John,
no,
sorry.
No, 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 no.
Oh, Mike Shanahan.
No.
Not, gee, wow.
No.
Wow, it's really late.
Wow, yeah, it's really late. 0-2. 0-2. Wow. All right, you want to go for the third strike? You want to go for the third strike? Go ahead. Give me one more guess. It's very easy.
Sean McDermott.
No. Sean McDermott with Carolina? They have a losing record.
Sean McDermott
Buffalo. Okay.
Wow,
never mind. You're right.
Because
you know what? When I was in Carolina when he was a defense coordinator.
Okay.
No, he's a good candidate. No, Mike Tomlin. On chicken salad with nothing.
I mean, so
nothing.
Then you can say what
he's one with Mason Rudolph.
If you were going to say that Mike Tomlin is candidate for coach of the year, then you had to say the same about Matt Nagy, who all of a sudden the Bears have gone back from the dead, and yeah, Mitch Trubisky looked like he was going to get scrubbed, kicked out on the street.
But they didn't lose their starting quarterback, future Hall of Fame quarterback.
All of a sudden, their guy, who they were going to replace in Mitch Trubisky, is now suddenly a perennial
I'm no Mike Tomlin fan, but I will tell you, this year, he has done an unreal job. You lose your starting quarterback was the only, and not to mention, you don't have A.B. or Le'Veon Bell anymore, and you're doing it with Mason Rudolph and now Duck Hodges? Get the hell out of here. Come on.
John Harbaugh.
No. Well, listen, they're the best
John
team.
John Harbaugh, for sure.
Yeah. They are definitely having a great year. Lee in Waltham. What's up, Lee?
Hey, what's up, my man? Hey, I appreciate you all taking my phone call.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I'm
listening
to
you guys. Okay, all right. I'm going to start off like this, right? At the beginning of the season, you know, the Patriots seemed like they was going to be unstoppable with the signing of Antonio Brown. Demaryius Thomas, he was here shortly after that signing. Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon. It sounds unstoppable, right? I'm talking 16-0.
I know.
And I've been a fan of the Patriots since 1985.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden.
Tony Eason days.
Right, exactly. With Steve Grogan and Tony
Craig
Collins.
Craig James and Moses Tutupu and Tony Collins.
Andre Tippett. They had the squad back then.
I was 5 years old when I think that team was bad. But continue.
Okay, so let me make,
yes,
okay,
yes.
So let me make my point. So yep. Antonio Brown is here. And then next thing you know, the Patriots, for some reason, they cut Demaryius Thomas, which I feel like they didn't have to, but they did anyways. So then Antonio Brown drama happens. So they cut him. And then Josh Gordon, you know, his production is down. He's dealing with injuries. Then they cut him. And once they cut Josh Gordon, I was saying to myself, why would, if you know that you're weak at that wide receiver position, why would you get rid of Josh Gordon?
You know what, Lee? My father asked the same question, but I think someone in this studio, not named Mark James, has an answer.
I have some insider scoop on why Josh Gordon left. So the reason that he walked, he was released, was because it wasn't because of injury. A lot of towards the end of his tenure with the team, Josh Gordon just kind of stopped answering text messages from teammates. He stopped showing up to meetings. He was becoming repeatedly late. Oh, and when people were reaching out, the people that they cared, that actually cared about him, he fell off the face of the earth. I asked that person specifically, I said, do you believe that it was because he was back to, you know, using substance, using drinking alcohol or using drugs or, you know, whatever he was doing? They said, certainly not, because that guy gets tested just about every other day to make sure that he's clean. The reason that he left was for reasons that we don't know, mental, personal, or whatever. It was he just stopped answering people's calls.
Wow.
And so it had nothing else to do, anything outside of that. And think about it. You haven't heard his name since, and you haven't heard much about Demaryius Thomas since either.
No, it makes sense, though.
You know,
good stuff, Courtney.
Well, can I make my last point?
Sure,
because I know I've been on the line for a little while.
Yep.
Okay, so now all of those guys been gone, and now the Patriots are struggling. And we all been watching them against Dallas at Foxborough, and we watched them last week against Houston. And I'm saying to myself, okay, and then Antonio Brown, you know, he puts out that apology to Kraft and everything, and then he's like, hey, you know what, I'll be your Christmas present. Let me come back. Hmm. Now, I know the man comes with a lot of drama, but if the Patriots decide to bring him back, it's like, what, 3 weeks or whatever, then they can cut ties with him. At this point, I think it's like, from what we're watching, it is totally dumb not to at least inquire in about bringing him back.
I know. Low risk, high reward. Yep. Yeah, Joe, Lee, I appreciate the phone call. Low risk, high reward. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. Very low risk and high reward. All right, we only have one segment left, but we're going to get to all your phone calls. Mike in North Providence, Kelsey, Scott, and others. 617-779-7937. Final segment, Courtney with a C, Mark with a C. Next. All right, final segment, 1248. Happy Friday, December 6th, right here.
Sounds weird to say that.
After dark. I know it's, well, that's what happens when it turns midnight, man. We are on Friday time now, which is, this week flew by. It's weird. It really did fly by. Just real quick before we go back to the phones and get everybody's calls, you and I did a podcast before the show tonight, so tell us when they can, that'll be up soon, right? On WEI.com. We'll get up there.
WEI, well, either WEI or you might throw it up on a SoundCloud or something.
Okay.
It's kind of the start of a new podcast segment that I'm starting here
awesome.
At EI.
And I was honored to be your first guest, so thank you.
So the project is unnamed. If anyone has any good names for the show, if you say Courtside with Courtney, you are immediately getting blocked on Twitter.
Okay.
I can't tell you how many times that people are like, you know, why don't you show a show that's like a play on your name? Court.
I could see it to a certain extent. Yeah.
No.
All right.
I don't know. It's unnamed. Unnamed podcast. But yes, it was great. We talked a lot about someone that you put this quarterback's name in the same sentence as Tom Brady, and my head almost exploded. Cam Newton.
Well, just only because of I was making a point, and then obviously nowhere near Tom Brady. But I have no... Oh, God, boys. You know what's weird? When you talk about Dallas next year, what if Jerry wants to bring Cam Newton and Ron Rivera there?
I think...
A package.
Well, that's...
Think about that.
That's a big...
Well, they said that Ron Rivera is so laid back, he could handle some like Jerry doing post-game press conference. He wouldn't care.
Well, I mean, but that's the biggest thing about Josh McDaniels and why he didn't take the Colts job.
Right.
Is because Jim Irsay's a kook. And he realizes that, like you don't want an owner. Like, it's either...
Yeah,
it's
he's weird.
When Josh McDaniels picks his new team, whenever that is, whether it's this year or next year, it's on a couple things. It's the owner, how much power he has, and do they have a quarterback in place? And if they don't have a quarterback in place, do they have enough draft capital to get that guy?
And how much
power he has within that system?
See him maybe going back to his home state of Ohio and being the coach of the Browns? Perhaps. I don't know. All right, let's go. Let's get the phones before we end the show. Kelsey's up in Brockton. What's up?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you for taking my call.
Yep.
I was just trying to come in with a chime in with my, I guess, theory on the Patriots, what's going on right now. I wanted to state from like a non-biased Patriots perspective, because obviously we've been hearing a lot of Patriots fans talking about what's going on. I wanted to say that, to be honest, I feel like Bill Belichick right now this season is only looking out for his career after the Patriots. And Tom Brady, to be honest, in my opinion, I feel like he's not happy with the system that the offense that he's being placed with, and he's going to be gone after this season.
I disagree on the first part of that. Bill Belichick's coaching legacy is cemented.
Yeah.
That's the reason why he's doing this NFL 100 series as the greatest coach of all time.
Continues
to be the greatest coach of all time.
He's going to stick around.
He's going to stick around for well past...
Three, four years?
I think for the next 10 years. No.
The reason that
Bill Belichick is so happy this year, why has he cracked a smile more than once a day in the organization, at least to the media, is because he realizes that he's winning without Tom Brady being the best guy.
Right.
It's always been hand in hand. And like I don't think Bill Belichick, I think he's coaching for his kids to eventually take over. I mean, like you saw the interview, and if anyone out there has not seen this, go on your interwebs and go on YouTube or go on, I don't know, on Google.com and type in.
Oh, no. We're going to play it for you right now.
Listen. Wait, without further ado.
Yeah. Kelsey, we appreciate the phone call. You got to listen to Steve Belichick. This is unbelievable. Here we go.
together?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about how it correlates. It's just trying to do my thing, and I think that that's what's best, so that's what we're trying to do.
Steve, Phil asked you about the chores. Do you have a memory of your first football chore or one of your first football chores that he asked you to do?
Yeah, I got a couple memories of those.
Any you want to share?
Good?
Yeah, those are between me and him, yeah.
What's the best way to
play? We laugh about him now.
When did you first start watching film? Like, he started when he was in high school.
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football is my thing. I remember watching Primetime with Chris Berman back when I lived in Cleveland, and just watching highlights, learning, going into my dad's office in Cleveland, spending time there, trying to watch film. Like I said, I don't think I knew what I was doing, but I was trying.
So other kids were watching cartoons, you were watching film?
I mean, yeah, I just wanted to spend time around football, spend time around my dad.
Thank you, Steve.
Figure I'll ask. Any shot you can tell us who's calling plays on the defense?
I got it wrong.
Oh, that man is 32 years old.
I know.
That man is 32, 31. He's a year younger than me.
The apple didn't fall far from the tree.
The Adam's apple does not fall far,
no,
far from the tree.
No, it did not.
And apparently, Steve... That's not playing out for the cameras, by the way.
No.
Like, apparently, no. Steve and his brother Brian... both sound identical to their head coach.
I have never heard Brian speak.
The brain has been cloned.
Oh, wow. That's unbelievable.
The brain of Bill Belichick has been cloned. He is young. He is ample. He coaches the best secondary in the NFL, at least not for the last couple of
days.
No,
he's a co-defensive coordinator with Gerard Mayo.
He's the safeties coach.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Steve, though.
I'm talking about Steve.
Yeah. I mean, like, those guys are sort of the co-defensive coordinators calling plays on defense.
How do you know that it's not Bill calling plays?
I'm
pretty sure that it's Bill. This is Bill's defense. That's why he's smiling ear to ear.
I know.
Do you remember that game a couple games ago where, like, the Sunday Night Football crew put, like, a three-shot?
Stop talking.
Oh, sorry about that. Mike in Providence. Sorry, I had you.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
I had no idea that Mike in Providence. Hey, listen.
Yeah. Mike, come on.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
It was a quick note, you know, because there's no time left. So
you got time? No, we're going to go 5 extra minutes. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Man.
You got time.
Wow. All right. I think we have to clip that out. And just
that was funny. That was funny.
Stop talking. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So anyways, with the guards, I was saying this before during the preseason with regards to, how Belichick might be looking at Brady here. And it's really kind of it's Stidham or whoever quarterback he can get plus that $27 million. And looking at Tom as being maybe a push, you know, Tom in decline, because, you know, Bill can stretch $27 million pretty far, you know, and that may be how he looks at it. And with regards to this particular game, I think, you know, this is all going to be about, can they establish the run? Because in the postseason last year, I don't know why people are forgetting the fact that they ran their way to a Super Bowl. Right?
Yeah.
They need to start establishing the run again. They had 9 rushing touchdowns and 2 passing touchdowns. It wasn't like Tom was putting up 5 touchdown games in that postseason. And they need to start doing that again so that, you know, that running game helped them out a lot just because, you know, the defenses didn't really know what was coming. And right now we're kind of telegraphing what they're going to do. And, you know, in addition to that, you know, just getting on the page of Sanu and the 2 kids would go a long way. They have 4 weeks. It's possible to get
there. Listen, Mike, we all remember after the Miami Miracle and the Pittsburgh loss last year, this team was 9-5. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought they were going to make a run to their 6th Super Bowl, and they did. Brad in Port Smith. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you guys thought about the final play in overtime today for the Bruins.
I thought it was BS. I thought they got jobbed.
Yeah, I was in the building. I think just about every person in there, including the Blackhawks fan sitting next to me, thought that it was a tripping call.
But you know what's weird? After the game, Billy Jaffe and Barry Peterson said they thought it was clean, which is surprising because, you know, you would think you would get the Bruins. They said no. If you really look at it, I don't know. It, to me, looked egregious.
Yeah, I mean, that played a big role in the loss, but overall, I mean, they played sloppy in the first and second period, and I think that was a bigger role than that final play. But
I know. But still,
Pasternak is playing out of his mind.
Oh, I know. Still no regulation losses at home, though. How about that, Brad? That's something
that's crazy.
Hang your hat on as we enter the second month of the season already, which is insane. But Bees are still – I mean, right now it's – it's tough to pinpoint. We'll see as the season goes on, but they couldn't have gotten off to a better start. And they've had some weird losses here and there that I think the loss that sticks in my craw, Brad, was the 4-0 lead against Florida. Yeah. They blew. Oh, my God. That one's still. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, man. We'll close it out, Courtney, with Eric in Hatfield. What's
Eric,
up?
Eric, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Doing good. What's your question tonight?
So one thing that nobody's really talking about that's really kind of hurting the offense,
yep,
the fullback.
Yeah, absolutely. James Devlin going down. They had Josh Jacobson a couple of weeks ago, young kid.
You mean Jakob Johnson.
Jakob.
Jakob Johnson.
Jakob,
yeah,
Jakob.
Josh Jacobs is having an amazing rookie year for the Raiders. he's killing it for the Raiders. No, James Devlin hurts this team so much, Eric.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
it also has to – I mean, listen, a part of – not having a run game is the poor offensive line. You have Marcus Cannon and, you know, and the kids on the offensive line have not been, I mean, we'll see. The big game for a big spot for Isaiah Wynn coming up here.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I agree. Ground game, get the ground game. Maybe that will give the air game a little more, passing game a little more confidence.
This is their toughest game of the season so far. Hey, Courtney, it was a pleasure working with you. Great doing the podcast. I can't wait to hear it when it's released. Thanks again to Brian D. Felice. Great job producing. I'll be back tomorrow night in for Mutt, 6 to 10 p.m., and then Mark and Hart Saturday morning. So I get off at 10 p.m., go home, go to bed, wake up back here at 9 the next morning.
Catnap?
Yes. Yeah. Have a great night. Have a great Friday.
Leave the lights on.